there are a ton of opportunities for those of us in agriculture and paying attention to food and health trends. Now, I don't personally love the term that gets thrown around that food is medicine, but obviously poor diet is a major cause of health problems, and we would all be better off to spend more of our time and probably our dollars prioritizing health and nutrition in our food choices. And that includes looking at certain food supplements. But even I, someone who loves thinking about the cutting edge of things in food and ag, was pretty shocked this past year to learn that people were including colostrum from cows in their diets. Colostrum being the milk produced by the mother at the time of giving birth to a calf. I grew up on a farm that had colostrum in the freezer to bottle feed goats and baby lambs, and it never looked appetizing to me. But as you'll hear today, there's a growing number of health-conscious consumers that are looking to the unique nutritive and bioactive properties of colostrum, and the powderized version of it is selling for big bucks. Where there is a health trend, there's an agricultural opportunity. And that's what we're going to explore with dairy farmers Rob and Erica Diepersloot, who are the founders of Wonder Cow, powdered bovine colostrum for human consumption. Well, hello, fellow ag nerd. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of The Future of Agriculture. My name is Tim Hamrich, and every week you and I get to hear from the farmers, founders, innovators, investors, the people shaping the future of the ag industry. I'm very pleased that this quarter of the Future of Agriculture podcast is brought to you by our quarterly presenting sponsor, which is Swap Maps. Because when you know more, you grow more. Swap Maps variable rate technology helps you understand the why of field variability and how to better manage it. Understanding soils is the core of a successful fertility program, and Swap Maps allows you to map, measure, and better manage your soils using data that accurately delineates areas with similar fertilizer response characteristics. Turn your data into actionable value with Swap Maps. They're your trusted variable rate provider on millions of acres currently with a 98% retention rate. Swap Maps, they do variable rate right. Learn more at swapmaps.com. Book a consultation or just check out more information. That's swapmaps.com. But you don't have to take just my word for it. Listen to Tyler Kessler talk about how Swap Maps opened his eyes to the potential of variable rate and how it's worked for him as both a farmer and agronomy consultant working in southern Saskatchewan.
I started being introduced into Swap Maps, and that really was the kind of the turning point of where I believed it started to make sense for me. I could see it started making sense for the clients, and it was the base layer of if you're actually dealing with physical properties. You're not dealing with just yield maps, and you're not dealing with imagery to try and, you know, market a scalable business. In our case, we've got 99% retention. Anyone that has tried it continues to increase their acres and they want more.
Well, again, that website is swapmaps.com if you'd like to learn more. And thank you to Swap Maps for supporting agricultural innovation and the Future of Agriculture podcast. All right, now to our featured conversation with California dairy farmers Rob and Erica Diepersloot, who are the founders of bovine colostrum company Wonder Cow. Now, this is an episode that really takes a few fascinating twists and turns. Among my notes here are points about food as health, transparency in food and in supplements, turning a byproduct on a farm to a valuable revenue generator, the confusion of labels out there when it comes to consumers and how that's probably not getting any better anytime soon, the challenges of consumer education in general, taking a product to market, the value of an accelerator to help new businesses get off the ground, and the value of having a consumer brand if you're a farmer, just to name a few there. And I'm pleased to welcome guest host Jennifer Barney back onto the show for today's episode. Jennifer has hosted maybe 6 interviews here on the show. She has great perspective as a successful food entrepreneur herself, having founded, grown, and sold an almond butter company called Barney Butter. And today she works with consumer packaged goods companies as a consultant and writes the weekly email newsletter, The Business of Food. I'll link to that in the show notes for you. But Jennifer, thank you so much for hosting another episode of the Future of Agriculture podcast.
Thanks for having me back, Tim. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah. And before we dive into today's conversation with Rob and Erica, I wonder if maybe you could just give us an update on what's happening in the food world. You spend a lot of your time looking at these types of changes and trends. And I know you're getting ready to go to Expo West here pretty quick, the big natural food show. But what are you seeing out there? For those of us who spend our time looking at more the ag side, what are you seeing on the food side that we should know about?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of exciting things happening in the CPG space. And, you know, a lot of it has to do with food as wellness. And, you know, what crosses over now into kind of nutraceuticals or supplements, those lines are starting to blur a little bit. And, you know, I was interested in this story from kind of a personal curiosity, because I've been getting pushed ads for colostrum. And, you know, I'm a food and beverage person, so I don't really cover supplements or vitamins and stuff like that. But, you know, this is an ag-derived pure bovine, you know, it's a dairy product essentially. So it got me really thinking about, you know, how is this made and what kind of substantiation are for the claims that they're making? And honestly, I started taking it myself. I've got a lot of girlfriends that are also taking colostrum more from like a beauty standpoint, but as we'll learn, you know, it's anecdotally, I'm hearing results having to do with, you know, improved gut health. So I think, yeah, these blurred lines with food and medicine is really kind of, that's what's up here in 2024.
It's really interesting, the blurred lines. I think this is actually the first episode I've ever done that is dealing with some sort of supplement. Granted, it's a product coming straight off a farm. It's still considered a supplement, as we're going to talk about here. It creates a lot of questions, though, and frankly, some ambiguity. It's not treated the same as other foods. It's definitely not a medicine. And now, while there is research that supports some health benefits, most of what you find out there when you look online through a Google search or YouTube or whatever is very anecdotal. So I think before we go forward, I just for the listeners, for your sake, I want to make a couple of things really clear. Number one, we're not here to push colostrum as a supplement or to claim that it will do magical things for you. But also on the flip side, number two, we are not here to try to invalidate the claims of others who have experienced a lot of health benefits from consuming it firsthand. There's this tension between where the science is and what the anecdotes say that I always find here on the show, and always tends to get me in trouble because I am genuinely interested in both. What are your personal experiences? What does the science say? But there seems to be a lot of people out there that think I need to pick a side, one or the other. So it does get me in trouble, but I just want to make both of those things clear. Not here to push colostrum, but also not here to invalidate other people's experiences. All right. Now with that out of the way, I know you've been actually including some colostrum in your own diet for months now and really think there might be something to it based on what you're feeling and experiencing. But let's get right to the interview here. How did you first get connected with Erica and Rob?
So I saw that they were a finalist at the Real California Milk Accelerator, which is an annual, I think they're on their fourth or fifth year. And you know, it's to promote innovation in the dairy space. And I had not actually seen their particular brand before, but as soon as I looked them up, I saw, oh, you know, they've been written up in a lot of, you know, media publications as being like one of the top 10, you know, colostrum brands out there. So I just simply reached out to them and asked them for an interview.
Well, it's a fascinating story. And I definitely love that they're coming at this from the perspective as both a dairy farming family, but also a consumer of colostrum products even before they had the thought to get into this business. So here you go. I'll drop into this conversation here between Jennifer and California dairy farmers and Wonder Cow founders, Rob and Erica Diebersloot.
We love cows. We love our people, but the dairy industry itself is pretty volatile and pretty brutal, if I'm honest, just because it's so global. You know, it relies on global supply and demand. And so one thing to take risk off the table, it's very risky to start new things and new companies like we did with Wonder Cow, but it's a way that we can diversify our operation to take risk off the table long term. So that's kind of actually part of the reason why we launched Wonder Cow as well, among, you know, a lot of personal reasons that Erica can share.
Mm-hmm. So when we first became parents, our first daughter got sick a lot, and her doctors prescribed her antibiotics, which helped each infection, but it ultimately took a toll on her gut health, which affected her immune system. So then as a toddler, it was like if anyone even sneezed close to her, she would catch whatever cold they got. And so it's amazing to us as we were looking for a holistic solution to heal her gut. It was right in our backyard. The cows produce colostrum the same way humans produce colostrum. So if you've had a baby or you know that process, a mother's body will naturally produce colostrum as the first form of pre-breast milk. And it's called liquid gold because it's phenomenal for your body and ultimately creating in a calf, it creates their immune system. So he knew from a dairy farmer's perspective, the impact that colostrum has on a newborn calf's body. So Wonder Cow sells pure bovine colostrum. It's pasteurized and powderized. And then you just add it to your water or your smoothie or on top of your yogurt and drink it once a day. And it has been phenomenal how much it has helped our family. And now as bringing it to the market has really been exciting for us because we get to see it help families all over the world.
So explain to me at that time when you thought, you know, we should try colostrum on our daughter, did you just go out to your newly birthed calf mamas? And did you like get some colostrum fresh from there? Or were you going out and seeking a different brand of powdered colostrum? How did you treat her in those early days?
So what's funny is talking to both of my grandmas, actually, they used to do that in Holland when they were younger. So someone would get sick and they'd go get colostrum from the farm. And they call it
Beast,
yeah, which is interesting. I don't know where that name came from. But we did not do that. We thought about it, and we're still working on a colostrum beverage, actually, to do that. But yeah, so we just went out and found a brand out on the market at the time that was very reputable. And then we just went with that to start.
One thing I wanted to mention when you had asked, oh, would we just go out to the mama cow and get some of her extra colostrum? So a mama cow produces more colostrum than what her baby calf needs. So at Wonder Cow, we ensure to all of our customers, we have this calf first promise, right? And we make sure that each newborn calf gets the colostrum that she needs before what is taken for the supplement. Does that make sense? So we're not taking from what the newborn needs. This is just what she made in addition to what the baby calf needed.
Yes. No, I have a lot of questions about that. So how is animal welfare being measured? Can you lend some insight as to how do you know when it's extra that the calf doesn't need?
Yes. So there's a lot of research on what a calf does need in order to develop her immune system. And her gut, and because calves are actually born without established immune system, and they fully depend on the colostrum from their mother to establish that immune system. And there's so much research out there saying like if she only gets a half gallon versus a gallon, that impacts her whole life, even to the point of the production that she will have as an adult. Just that first feeding, it's incredible.
Yeah.
So we make sure that every calf that is born within 2 hours is getting at least a gallon of colostrum. And that's kind of what all the research is pointed at, because you don't want to go, you don't want her to have too much because it will cause other issues, not issues, but, like scours and whatnot, but you definitely don't want to under, provide either. And so—
And is this pretty standard practice? Is this well known and standard in the industry? It's a gallon?
I would say yes. I think over the last decade, it's been pretty established, like that's what a calf needs. And obviously it does depend on the breed as well. Jersey calves are a lot smaller, so they, may need less, and Holsteins are bigger, so they need the gallon. But I'd say that's pretty standard at this point.
Okay. So in that calving process, and the dairymen are educated and aware of, what the calf needs, then how does the colostrum industry, or how does the supply and separation or segregation of the extra colostrum, how does that actually work?
Well, so a cow will produce, like we said, a lot more than that gallon, right? But calves will get fed colostrum for like 3 to 4 feedings.
And also, just to clarify, the baby calf is not nursing directly from her mama, just because then we wouldn't be able to, I guess, take note of how much she's consuming. So she is fed in a, it looks like a baby bottle, but it's big compared to us. But that's how a baby calf will receive her first colostrum.
And yeah, and that's a conversation that we have quite a bit with people, because when a calf nurses from her mom, like, yes, it is the most natural way, but you can't have any way of knowing how much colostrum she gets and the quality of that colostrum. And so ultimately it could be very detrimental, but also can, like, if there is coli or certain types of bacteria in that colostrum that she consumes, like it could kill her actually. So we harvest the colostrum first, then we test the quality of the colostrum from like a food safety standpoint, make sure there's no bacteria. Then we pasteurize it at low temperatures to maintain all the bioactives in that colostrum. And then we feed her a whole gallon. So we know that every single calf is getting good quality and the colostrum that she needs to fully develop and become the best, you know, and to reach her full potential from a genetic standpoint. Also, when it comes to quality of colostrum too, the healthier that the cow is, the better quality that colostrum is going to be. And so it's extremely important from the dairyman's perspective, like, hey, that we have to have the healthiest cows possible to get the quality of colostrum that we need. And so what we do on our farm is actually we harvest it, we keep all the really good quality colostrum, and we freeze it and we put it in these shelves in the freezer. So we know, like, we'll never run out, you know, we'll feed it directly to the calf after it's pasteurized, but any extra will freeze as well. And as long as we maintain enough colostrum and enough extra, then we'll go and sell the extra on top of that to a company that will manufacture the colostrum powder.
Okay. Gotcha. So since you were already in this business and you already had the knowledge about, you know, how good colostrum is for you, and you had the problem with your daughter, and you went and you sourced, you know, powdered colostrum out on the marketplace, because there's a lot of brands out there. What made you decide to create your own brand? And what is it that you feel you're doing that is different?
Yeah. So naturally, I'm pretty skeptical person. And I like digging into the research of things and why things happen the way they do. And so when we were sourcing the colostrum for our daughter, I actually bought, I think, 7 different brands, and I sent them to a local lab to test for bioactives. I'm like, okay, we're going to see what is actually the best powder out there, because you can't always believe marketing, you know? Mm-hmm. And then once we found the best powder, it kind of opened my eyes to, well, not every colostrum powder is created equal. Mm-hmm. Some are actually a lot better than others. And then, yeah, we decided to create our own brand. We knew which powder we needed to source.
So again, what exactly were you testing for? What is it that makes for better colostrum than others?
Yeah, so the largest bioactive in colostrum is an antibody called immunoglobulin G. So there's 5 different types of immunoglobulins. But G is the largest, and testing is extremely expensive. So when you just want to see, like, is there a lot of antibodies in that batch? Like, you test for G, and then you'll know if G is in there at a high amount, then like A, M, E, and all these other ones will be in there as well. So we tested for multiple IgGs. We tested for oligosaccharides, which is a prebiotic that helps feed bifidobacterium. And we tested growth factors and lactoferrin as well.
And all of these bioactive compounds are what creates a baby calf's immune system, right? But that's what also has such a benefit for our bodies as well. So we knew basically if we could have like the highest concentration of IgG, for example, then that's going to have the most impact on our family's gut and on our customers' guts. And so I will say that is one of Rob's strength, is like going for the best of the best, that he wanted to have the most potent colostrum out there. And so that would be one differentiating factor. One thing that we've also learned being in the supplement industry is, since it's not under FDA, then it's not super regulated, which is tough when, like, we are really honest and really transparent. And so with our customers, we are really open about what's all in our colostrum. And so far, we just have the one product, which is just pure bovine colostrum. But some other companies out there make these claims that might not necessarily be true. And we know that they're not necessarily held to a certain standard, but just being in the industry that we are in.
Yeah. So for example, some may have a proprietary blend. And so they don't tell you exactly what's in it, but there could be some mixing agents that makes it more soluble, which is convenient. But that's something we didn't want. We just wanted pure colostrum and not soy less than or sunflower less than, because we knew it was going to our, you know, our kids. So that's something I think transparency is one pillar that helps us stand out. We have open label. We're going to be very honest with our consumers about what's in it. And then, yeah, like Erica said, you know, it's not super regulated by the FDA, but we want to be a brand that people trust. You know, like we're family farmers. That's what we do. And we just want to build a brand that people trust.
You make such a good point about supplements not being FDA, the claims not being FDA approved, Very different from the food industry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm again, always getting fed, you know, colostrum brand this, colostrum brand that, and, you know, all kinds of claims that these brands are making about how great it's going to be for our skin and hair and, you know, energy and all sorts of things. And of course, you know, they can say, you know, whatever they want, unsubstantiated claims. And then, you know, there's lists that, you know, publications, you know, the media will say like top 10, you know, best colostrum brands, right? And I've actually Googled this and found that Wonder Cow has been in the top, you know, of the top 10 list in certain ways. But, you know, as a consumer, let's say, you know, I don't have all this special knowledge that you guys have, right? As a consumer, all I have to go on if I'm really looking at the back of the package and I'm evaluating the nutrition facts and what the ingredients are, I can see whether or not it has an additive, right? So I can tell whether it has sunflower lecithin or soy lecithin in it. And I can see the milligrams of IgG. They all do, you know, have that as one of the facts, right? So diving into that a little bit, you know, you've done the testing of the quality of IgG, but the consumer wouldn't know. There isn't any labeling about if per serving, one brand has 1,000 milligrams and another brand also has 1,000 milligrams. To the consumer, they may seem equally potent or of equal quality, right? So kind of going back to how are you communicating that quality difference when maybe the facts look the same?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because one thing we talk about too internally is like, we don't want to be a brand that puts other brands down. Mm-hmm. Like we want to support other people and their ventures. And so we just want to bring the truth of colostrum to people and hopefully build a brand that people can trust. So it's hard for me to tell you why other people would have this colostrum that they say has X amount of IgGs, but really it doesn't. I'm not sure, but I can tell you that we do have what we say.
And ours is standardized to have a minimum of 40% per serving. Yeah. For Wonder Cow, we just wanted it to be pure and open and honest with our consumers. And so that's why it just has the one ingredient. It's pure bovine colostrum, and it is concentrated, which is how we can guarantee that it's 40% IgG.
Awesome. Okay, so you decide you want to launch your own brand. Having been a founder of a, you know, company, and you guys have such a leg up than I did because, you know, I started an almond butter company and I was not in the almond industry. So I had, a lot to learn on both the branding side, but also on the input side.
And you did great.
But tell me about your process of actually, you know, creating your product. Where do you sell? How do you market? Did you do, or have you been doing kind of market landscape studies to say like, hey, this is not a mature market, right? This is an emerging market. How do you assess what the current demand or volume is for, again, this is human consumption, right? Tell me a little bit about that go-to-market strategy.
Yeah. So I feel like we had this idea, I don't know, 2.5 years ago, maybe.
Well, I will back up and say, when he was in college, he had already written out some of his 5-year goals, 10-year goals. And one of his 10-year goals was he wanted to bring a product to the market, a product that was good for the market. And then it is amazing to know that he was able to reach that goal, which is very exciting. But as far as colostrum goes, I think you started looking into the fluid colostrum part back in 2019.
So we've been thinking about this for a while, like ever since everything with our daughter, colostrum was on our mind and was like, hey, we produce a lot of this, you know, like we have a lot of extra, like we should bring this to market. And at the time, and actually the colostrum market wasn't huge in America. It's been really big actually in Asia, and China is the biggest market in the world for the past 10 years. And so it was interesting that we kind of started this a couple of years ago before the US market really took off. And we just launched Wonder Cow in April of 2023. And it was kind of right as the US market was ramping up. And there had been a couple other big companies that came out with colostrum brands too, and it just pouring a lot of money into educating consumers. Mm-hmm. And we kind of hit the timing right when it came to the market.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as finding our niche market, it was tough to pinpoint because I don't mean to sound too broad, but colostrum is essentially good for every body, right? Like if you're a young kid, because so much of our overall health is found in our gut. So if we can do something to help improve your gut, that's going to benefit you, whether you're 4 years old, 40 years old, or 84, right? And so we did want to be all encompassing. Like Wonder Cow, I think, appeals to a mom who has young kids, as well as a mom who wants to reduce fine lines and wrinkles, as well as an athlete who wants to repair his muscles, and someone in the older generation who kind of needs to see some anti-inflammatory benefits. So it really was tough to say, oh, let's target this one particular market because it is good for all of those that I just listed. So I think we have been able to hopefully reach each of those, but based on the data, as far as where we sell, the majority ends up being the 30-something mom of young kids, and whether she's buying it for herself or for her kids or both, that is about more than half the market, right?
Yeah, we're still learning.
And you know that you're gathering data from your direct-to-consumer business.
We are now. Yeah. So it's cool to look back at our own data now, you know, because before it was just pulling data from global supply and demand, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then as far as where we sell, it is funny to think when we were first talking about launching a business, I just kind of thought small scale, right? Which also would have been great if we could start a product and start in a farmer's market. But I do think that Rob dreams big. And so he was right away like, if this product is good for everyone, let's get it out to everyone. Let's sell it on Amazon. Amazon itself has been super helpful for us because it allows us to reach a way more extended market, right? That we can sell nationally and then hopefully in the future internationally. But
and going back how we started, I feel like we leaned on just like relationships that we had, even within our own family. Like Erica's background is in sales. So she worked for Oracle for 9 years. And her sister is in marketing and is a copywriter. So she has helped us out, and we've kind of developed this team of people that we kind of knew and have just been really good. And I think that's been huge for the success of Wonder Cow as well.
Mm-hmm. And even when you go through our website, it's written by us plus my sister. So it just feels so family. Like it feels like us, very genuine. And yeah, so very cool to see that.
And I'm a big believer in bootstrapping, right? So, you know, the more that you can do yourself, and it also helps you learn all the aspects of the business. So as your business grows and you need to hire, you know, either third-party help or, you know, bring on employees, you're able to really tell them and be able to manage the task because you're handing off something that you've been doing yourself.
Yeah. And I feel like that's how I got into dairy as well. Like coming home from college, and this was very good for me, is just go and do every position on the farm. So I knew that position inside and out, and then I can improve it if it needs to be improved. Looking back, you know, going through a year of that, and then now you can manage those people in those positions. And it's so same with Wonder Cow as well, I feel like, except there are agencies and people who know way more about this than we do that have been helping us along. So it is a little bit different, but we definitely do depend on those people.
So you sell D2C, so you sell on your website, and then you also sell through Amazon. Are there any other outlets of distribution?
There's a couple smaller ones that I think Etsy and then TikTok you could buy. They have a new platform you could buy off of.
But you're not like in GNC or any other like retail or online. Okay.
No. Yeah. From what we've learned, you know, we have goals of reaching retail eventually, but e-commerce platforms right now are what we're going to go after.
Yeah. And that's a very common playbook. You know, you kind of solidify, get your niche audience, get your repeat really high in D2C, and then, you know, approach retail when you're really ready, right? And you've got a core audience that now you can just direct them to the store and you know that they're going to buy you. So that leads me to wonder, capacity-wise, like this is a, if this is a growing trend, which I think it is, I don't think it's a fad. I think that, you know, colostrum came on the scene and seems to only be more and more, catching on. This is just anecdotal. I don't have any data to support this, but assuming that it's a trend that's going to continue and it's reliant upon a certain period of time of lactating, you know, cows, how does one think about the availability of supply? Mm-hmm. We get fluid milk from all kinds of different dairies and it's central. You know, this is the efficiencies of the dairy industry, whether you're making, you know, skim milk powder or whether you're making, you know, cheese or whatever the secondary ingredient is. Tell me a little bit about where you think the industry is going in terms of colostrum supply to be able to continue to keep up with all the demand.
Yeah, I feel like that's something we constantly talk about as a company, because as we continue to grow, we want to be able to have the supply to meet that demand. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is we have a lot of cows in California and in the United States, and a lot of colostrum is produced, but a lot of it may be going towards other avenues as well, not just like human supplement level, but maybe like lower valued products, maybe like animal products, you know, or there's colostrum supplements even for cows and calves that they can take. But when you bring it to that human level quality, there's more value that it contains. So I think as demand ramps up, more is going to be diverted to that higher quality to meet the human consumption demand. And that will help us on dairy farms because it'll make our colostrum have more value, you know, so on farm, it's going to help us.
And not just ours, like the dairies throughout the US, it kind of gives more monetary value to that extra colostrum that those dairies produce anyways.
Mm-hmm. But I think that is, you know, something that we continue to talk about and we need to continue to work with people in the industry to make sure that there's enough of that, of the supply out there for us to continue our growth.
Okay. How about, so I want to jump to, you were awarded the California Milk Advisory Board Accelerator winnings. You entered that last year, I think, a couple months ago, and you won the contest and it's so exciting. So tell us a little bit about how did you become aware about that CMAB did the accelerator once a year and what all did you have to do to prepare and you know, what was your experience?
Yeah, it was a really cool experience, actually. So for those who don't know, CMAB is California Milk Advisory Board, and it puts on a contest for new innovative dairy products once a year. Out of all the applicants, they pick eight companies to compete. And then at the end of, I think it's a 12-week process, they pick a top four. And then the top four will go on to the next round, which is a year-long competition, and it's all based off of sales. And so whoever sells the most of their product will then win the competition, you know, the following year. So we were awarded the top four of our group. So now we have a year to sell as much as we can to win the competition. So it was really cool. We learned a lot. Every week we had calls and mentors hopped on to talk about specific topics from CPG, you know, and marketing and yeah, all kinds of stuff. So we learned a ton and it was really good to meet the other people that we were competing against as well, just other entrepreneurs that were like-minded and full of energy and had really good products too. So it was great. And I think it's really cool. And one thing we're going to want to use WonderCow as kind of a platform to just educate people on sustainable dairy. Mm-hmm. So I feel like even over the past 5 years, dairy has changed, like from a sustainability standpoint, and especially here in California is leading the world when it comes to sustainability with all these new digesters going in and these feed additives that just take away methane, you know,
and
it stops enteric methane. So when cows won't burp methane anymore, it's pretty incredible. And it makes the cow more efficient. Like, I can go on and on. I think it's really cool. California is investing in these technologies and it helps us on farm, but it also helps us in the public's eye of just the impact that we're having on sustainability.
Mm-hmm. And it almost seems like one particular dairyman might not feel like he has a stage to express that this is the good that the dairy industry is doing, right? Like this is actually how we're, instead of contributing to global warming, for example, we're actually carbon negative, like as in we're not just consuming energy, we're giving more. Us starting a company and now like the world, or at least the US, recognizing WonderCow as a company kind of gives us a little bit of a platform. Like if they recognize WonderCow and then realize that we're dairy farms, then we can be the voice of dairy to show the good that's happening in the industry. And that's super exciting because there's a lot of good.
Awesome. Yeah. So tell us where we can go to find WonderCow. What's your website?
Yeah. So just wondercow.com. And then you can also find it on Amazon if you prefer that as well.
Yeah. And then you can follow us on Instagram at WonderCow or Facebook at WonderCow. TikTok also.
All right. So go find them there. Thank you very much to Rob and Erica for being on the show. Thank you as well to Jennifer for sourcing this story, doing the interview, and being our guest host for today. Now, whether or not you're going to run out and go buy some colostrum for yourself, I hope that you clued in on some really important trends there. First of all, the trend of gut health, in my opinion, is not going away. It will just grow in desire from consumers to find ways to improve their own gut health. Second of all, having a brand as a farmer, growing a product from scratch, finding ways that you can market it online, super interesting stuff. And I could see more and more people being interested in having a brand of their own, a way that they can supplement, little play on words there, their commodity income with something that is differentiated and unique. So kudos to Rob and Erica for making that happen. You can, of course, go find their products and learn more about their company at their website, which is wondercow.com. We'll include that in the show notes, as well as a link to Jennifer Barney's weekly newsletter that you can subscribe to. Thank you so much to them again for being on the show. Thank you to our quarterly presenting sponsor, which is Swap Maps. Learn more about them at swapmaps.com. And last but never least, thank you for your time and your attention. I do not take it lightly. I'll be back next week with another story of Ag Innovation.